Hello! On this week's episode of Less Code, More Power, we have five incredible people who are using their tech superpowers to make your world a better place. Stay tuned.
Hey everyone! Donna and I are doing something amazing in this episode. We have not got one, two, three, we have got five guests on the show today, and this is something we've never done before. We've never done five guests. They're all remote as well, and honestly, this is an amazing episode. It's something that makes a difference in the world. All these people are just so amazing. Donna, you actually met everyone in Sydney not too long ago, didn't you? Can you just share like who everyone is with us on the show today?
Yes. So first of all, thank you, everyone, for joining us for Less Code, More Power. Like Sarah was saying, we have five amazing guests, and we've never done a show like this because we've never met anyone like this before. This is a group of people who I had the honor of meeting at Ignite Sydney in February of 2020. Remember back in the day, we used to get on these large vessels and fly across the world? That was when I met them. And this group was tackling a global and universal problem, and they weren't just tackling it, they were solving it. And they were solving this problem in a way where random cities all around the world are pinging them and saying, can you solve it for us too? So we knew immediately that we absolutely had to have this team on Less Code, More Power. So it is my privilege to introduce to all of you TJ, who is the team lead for this. TJ, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Sarah and Donna. Thank you. Just a little bit about myself. I am a digital advisor from Microsoft. I would say one of the best jobs in the world. I help customers to reimagine what is possible. How do they actually tackle the problems that they face, as well as helping to make any ideas real in the transformation journey. So that is what I do. And I have the privilege to work with this group of very talented young talents within Microsoft to tackle this problem, to help solve the New South Wales homelessness problems within our cities.
That is so cool. So how long have you been with Microsoft?
I have been with Microsoft for 14 years now in various different roles.
Yeah.
So I've been with this digital advisory service in the past 3 years.
Amazing. So you get to take all of your years of experience and apply them to actually empowering people on the planet to do the thing. So you get to use all of your tech background, all of your customer background to do this.
Yes, that's what we want to do. Yes. Amazing. Every day, I think we are privileged to live with that mission to help everyone globally.
So cool. So do you want to introduce the team?
Yes, I would like to introduce Chris. Chris is our key lead for the Power App solution. Chris, over to you.
Thank you, TJ. So my name is Christopher. I'm actually a trainee here with Microsoft, and actually my goal as a trainee is to learn as much as I can. My official job title is a cloud solution architect. I got into this entire project because of because I've always loved information technology. It was my passion even throughout high school, and when the opportunity came around to apply to this traineeship, I did so almost immediately. That's a little bit about me. Over to, and should I just say someone's name?
You can, yeah. Go ahead. Anyone.
Who's anyone?
Sure. I'll pass it over to Ali.
Thanks for that, Chris. Hello there, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. A little bit about myself. My name is Ali. I'm a Microsoft trainee, official job title being in channel marketing for Australia and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I was just so honored to be approached to work on this project under such amazing leadership from TJ and with my colleagues. It was such an incredible opportunity because it aligned what I really believe I wanted to do with technology when I first got into working as a trainee and at Microsoft, which is marrying up helping others with the most current technology available. And this project really means a lot to me because I was able to do exactly that. Thank you. And on to Sarah.
So before we jump back to Sarah, sorry to interrupt, but Ali, you had an interesting career switch into being a trainee. So yeah. Tell us about your previous life. and how you even discovered being a trainee in the first place, because career switchers, it's a thing.
That's very true, Donna. So I was initially in a completely different field. Whilst I always had that love for technology and wanting to do something meaningful, I felt like I just hadn't found that in the right industry yet. And I was working doing like administration and temping, and I've always had that deep love of tech ever since a young age. And when this opportunity cropped up, my partner actually saw, I applied for it with like all the passion that I had, because I thought, wow, this would be such an amazing opportunity for me to be able to do what I want to do. So, yeah, I'm very, very fortunate to be here today and to be able to work on projects such as these. And, it was, so many different industries I was in before, jumping around, trying to find a good fit. And I truly believe I found that good fit.
That makes me so happy. So Sarah, tell us about you.
Yes. Well, so my name is Sarah. I am currently also a trainee working with the education team here at Microsoft Australia. And I'm a trainee by day, part-time baker assistant by night, you know, just helping the family with some good old baking thanks to COVID. And how did I get involved in this project? Just like the other trainees, we were kind of, you know, approached and kind of asked to kind of, you know, tiptoe along the lines with, you know, helping out. And then it kind of, we all became really heavily involved in like the build process, which was really exciting. And for me personally, that was, you know, something that I've never been part of such a big project before, and I don't think I really realized the scale of it. And to hear the end result and like to see so many different countries and so many different cities, you know, banding together to really end what we all should be aiming to end, which is homelessness and rough sleeping, is really, really amazing.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So Hannah, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Donna. Hi, everyone. My name is Hannah, and as with everyone, I'm so glad to be part of this really great initiative. I'm a premier field engineer, and I started off with Microsoft as an Aspire hire. And from there, I guess I'm just really glad to be part of this really great initiative that enabled me to be part of a really great team and also help the community with the skills that we have.
That is so amazing. And, you know, the super diverse backgrounds you bring to the table really has made this all possible. So speaking of, TJ, do you want to tell us about the business problem and the social problem that you were facing that led to this project? I hear you've got slides.
Thank you. I do have a slide to show. Okay. So let me share the screen very quickly. The problems that we are trying to tackle is homelessness problems. During the COVID time, we were asked to stay at home. However, there is a group of people in our society who doesn't have a home to go to. And these are the most vulnerable groups within our communities. Within Australia, there are estimated 116,000+ people are in this homeless state. Amongst this group, about 49,000 of them are rough sleeping every night. And this is a problem within our society. And this group that we are trying to form together is to help to reduce this number. However, let us understand a little bit about homelessness. There are multiple reasons someone will be in this homeless state. It could be due to family violence, mental health issues. Some of them has physical health issue. For example, if they have some accidents, they met at work and the bills mounted up. Mm-hmm. There could be loss of employment or underemployment or inability to gain a new job, limited housing, rental stress, drug and alcohol addictions, or traumatic experiences. So multiple reasons, complex situation leads this group of people to be where they are. So it's a very difficult problem to tackle because there are multiple different reasons. And in New South Wales, our premier Gladys Berejiklian has created an initiative to reduce in the next 5 years by 2025, 50% of the homelessness people, and aiming to reach zero homelessness people by 2030. So this is the initiative that started with our government. Mm-hmm. However, the challenge that our society has today when it comes to solving this problem is we have so many different initiatives. We have many service providers providing different kind of services to help the homeless person. However, as you can see, it is a very challenging systems between different government agencies who try to do all the good things for them, but these people would have to navigate in the very complex systems. So what we are trying to do is to allow real-time information to be flowing amongst those agencies by really putting the people in the center. So we want to create a view of what are the situation of these homeless people or rough sleepers and try to use information to provide the best solution or the best service to help them to get out of this situation. So the challenge that we are actually facing is a trust problems within our society. Where does information flow and how do we get the right information and in the very quick way, in a very quick way to help those people? So that is effectively the challenge that we are facing today.
Amazing.
And the team is trying to solve this problem.
I love that you're tackling this because it's a global problem. And it's not something we have easily been able to solve in any country. It doesn't matter how wealthy the country or how populated, we have not been able to solve it. So I love that we're applying technology to the problem, because if we were going to solve it without tech, we would have solved it by now. And we haven't. So I love that your group is taking this on, because this is not an easy fix. And there's no silver bullet here. And I love trying to go after this metric of reducing by 50%. So I hear you got a demo to show us. Chris, there's talk of a power app.
So this is our solution that we've developed for the Act 10 Street Sleeping Collaboration. It's a big power app, basically. This power app is intended to be given to surveyors that will hit the streets out on a giant... So this is the solution that we've developed for the Act 10 Street Sleeping Collaboration. This app is intended to be given to surveyors on the streets that will go and interview people that are sleeping rough in order to try and get to know a little bit more about them and develop an information database, also known as the by name list. We'll start off with a small demo of sort of what the front page of the app looks like. As you can see here on the left, we've got some information. This is basically just help messages that can be updated at any time in real time. We also have a small little piece here that will give you your name and some information. On the right here, we have the ability to create a new survey. We have the ability to look up and view different housing statuses of people. We also have the ability to create and to look at draft surveys. Mm-hmm. So let's just jump into a new survey really quickly and see what this looks like from the perspective of a surveyor out on the streets interviewing someone that's sleeping rough. First of all, we're brought to a survey initialization screen. This is where we can select a specific tag for the survey. In this case, during the COVID-19 outbreak, the surveys have been marked with the COVID-19 tag. Mm-hmm. We're also able to select the district. And this is really important as this application is being pushed out towards to more and more districts within Sydney. And therefore, we need to mark these. So in this case, I'll just go ahead and select Sydney Southeast and Northern District. We'll go next. We're now brought to a consent form. This is just some really basic legalities that we need to go over before we begin collecting the personal information, people that are sleeping rough. This would be read off or given to the person that's sleeping rough by the surveyor. If we go next, we're now brought to a consent screen. Here is a really basic screen that allows the person, through their touch, go ahead and just sign this page here. At this point, they're also able to restrict their consent, and this is really important if we want to control who information gets shared with. So for example, if I don't want to share my information with a certain agency, all I need to do is I need to hit yes here and tick that certain agency. And that information won't be shared with that particular agency. You also have the ability to participate anonymously in the bottom right here. And this means that no personal information will be collected from you, but we still proceed and go through with a survey.
I think that's awesome, actually. I love the idea of still being able to help people and, you know, people can still not have to share all of their data.
Yeah,
absolutely. And one of, that was the main point of this application. As you can see on the right, the ability to decline a question is offered to absolutely everything. We can decline any one of these questions. And the freedom of choice given to the person that's sleeping rough is an utmost priority. But just going through this, I want to just really quickly outline exactly what you're seeing. The questions being asked within this survey come from something called the VI-SPDAT. It's a framework developed by the United Nations in order to help consolidate and accurately collect data about people that are sleeping rough on the streets. This survey is about 140 or so questions with approximately 400 unique responses. So if we imagine that in paper-based form, that'd be about 20 pieces of paper per person that's sleeping rough. That's a lot of information. It's a lot of data. And previously, without this app, it took about 40 minutes per person, I believe, to perform a survey, and that's excluding the data entry part, having to read those forms, fill in the info, put it into a database, or even a spreadsheet. Here with this application, we've lowered that time to about 15 minutes. And that's including data entry, database, all of that fun stuff. So if we just really quickly scroll through this, it's a pretty standard survey. We're asked for a lot of information over the course of A to J sections. And we have a variety of input types, drop-downs, radio boxes, or radio buttons, big lists and free-form input. At the end of it, though, and I'll just go ahead and fill in some basic info here at the start, like my name, and say English and then my last name. And I'll just go ahead and go and review to submit. At the bottom here, we also have to note we have the ability to save surveys as drafts. This is in case we need to come back to someone. Because, you know, just in case someone needs to step away for a moment. That's no issue at all. So here we'll go ahead and hit review to submit. And as a surveyor, now we have the ability to just look at the information that we've entered. As you can see, I've entered Chris Gaffanopoulos, and there's nothing else for the rest of these screens simply because I haven't filled it in.
Yeah.
If we go ahead and select add comments, as a surveyor, we're able to make observations and add those in as data. We also have the ability, of course, to submit. If we select submit, we still have the ability to save as draft here, but we'll hit yes in this case. And now on the back end of this, this data has been submitted and processed by the database. There's no data entry required. We store all the data on the common data service. One more thing I just really want to quickly go over as well is all the questions you saw on there, on that survey, all these questions are all dynamically able to be changed. If we've built a model-driven app on top of all of this, that'll help administrators be able to edit this app without any So we built a model-driven application that'll allow administrators to go ahead and easily edit questions. As you can see, if you remember, these three lines here are those announcements from the right at the start of the survey. And those can be updated live really easily. All you need to do is select new and type in a new announcement. So if I type in test and I go ahead and reload the app, you'll see, hopefully, test should appear here now. Just like that. A simple, easy process. The same can be applied for sections that you see across the top, questions, and most importantly, the way we score the actual survey, which is going to be seen in the next part by Hannah. That's all I have to show for the application. Thank you.
That was so awesome, Chris. You demoed that brilliantly, and it was so great seeing a model-driven app in the back end as well and seeing how that all works. So Hannah, you have got to show this, the whole data piece and the Power BI. Go right ahead. I'm so excited for this.
So thanks, Sarah. And thanks, Chris, for that awesome demo. Now, as we can see here, this is a sample report that is meant to be consumed by the ESS team, ESSC team, and also certain service providers to help understand, you know, the insights that that can be extracted from the data that was collected through the Power app. So really, this report helped get insights from the respondents. And so from we look, and what we're using here is Power BI. Power BI is a very user-friendly tool that not only allows the IT pros or business analysts to create Power BI reports or reports in general. It allows, it empowers everyone, basically everyone, to create their own reports because it's so user-friendly. Now, when we look at this particular report, you can see here that most of the respondents are actually rough sleeping with the use of a really simple pie graph. And you can also see here, most of the respondents are of a certain age bracket. And as we go through the other visualization over here, you can see here how we use some certain questions that help us understand the history and the background of the respondents and whether they have a huge bearing as to whether they might be in the situation that they're currently in. And so this is a really interesting insight that we got with just a very simple use of bar graphs. So one of the important metric or one of the important insight to take in is how the accommodation status is tracking over time against the respondents. So really the aim is for us to turn all of these rents or all of the people or who are in an unfortunate state of homelessness into permanently housed. So as we are able to get more data in the upcoming months, the aim here is to make sure that all of these reds and these yellows are turned into green. And so with the use of a very simple tool, a very simple visualization, you can help, you know, track those changes. And it just helps us, it basically the data that we're seeing through this visualization helps solidify what is being done by the group. So that's about it for my demo.
What I liked about this whole demo was it's so very end-to-end. It starts with, I assume a homeless shelter would go out into the streets and have their volunteers conduct the interviews with people who, you know, are vulnerable. And once they fill out that form that went from 40 freaking minutes of writing down on sheets of paper and then entering into a spreadsheet somewhere to actually just filling out the form, hitting submit, and then that vulnerability score is computed. And then people, the shelter is able to identify who are the most vulnerable people that they should be bringing in so they're not rough sleeping. So folks who are rough sleeping goes, of course, way high on the list, as shown in the dashboard. And you're actually able to show the progress over time in getting to that reduction of 50% goal that you've got. So I'm sure New South Wales folks are incredibly happy with you because they can actually watch the progress happen in real time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
maybe if I can explain the solution a little bit. I think Donna, you have mentioned that perhaps this section can be put in front of the demo to give a little bit more context on how do we actually tackle the problems. Mm-hmm. There are actually three parts to this. First part of the solution is to collect the data, knowing where the people are and their current state. That we actually are working with the N Street Sleeping Collaboration, which is a consortium that was formed with government agency as well as nonprofit organization. And they will be providing all the volunteers and orchestrating the data collection part. The reason we use Power Platform is there is a device component. So the Power Platform is actually cross devices. So as the volunteer uses their own iPads, iPhone, Androids, we do not have to worry about that platform elements. Power Platform just go across all of them so that they can focus on collecting the data real time. The second part of the solution is once we have the data collected, how might we actually ask some intelligence question because we do not know the state. So the Power BI allows the N Street collaboration to start asking question and from the data collected, formulate what is the best action. So I think Power BI is not only providing the insights, but also allow, once we have the insight, we can continue to ask more questions and discover a little bit more about the people. Finally, I think one of the key things in the solution is the security part, because trust is the most important element. We need the people who handed their data to us to actually trust that we actually protect their data and information. So Power Platform has all this security built in from layers to layers, so that only the right person could actually access the right information for them to really help whoever is needed. So those are the three parts of the solution I thought I mentioned.
Wonderful. So as you all know, we never let anyone leave our show without assigning homework for our amazing audience. So TJ, do you want to assign some homework to everybody on what they should be doing?
Yes, I guess one of the key things I would like to encourage you to think about is, what is the problems that you are actually seeing within your communities, people around you? So ask what if question, ask yourself, what if I could actually do something? And in fact, I think this team demonstrated, we asked the question of what if we can just help one person a day to provide them with shelter? And it is a very big global problem, but we can always start with one single step. I think a step a day is better than thinking we are going to be in 20 miles later. Mm-hmm. So we started with that. And the Power Platform really allows what we call citizen developers. You do not need to know a lot of coding. You can actually apply problem solving and be able to learn very quickly, creating data models, creating softwares that run across platform. So one of the things I really want to leave with you is open up your eyes, ask what if you could do it, maybe find a group of friends, come and work together and start with just one. So I'll just leave it with you on that.
I love that. How good of a message is that? We've never had this homework, which is ask yourself what if, identify one person to help, solve the problem for them. What if you could help one person a day? That's magical. I love that. Thank you all so much for being here with us today. This has been such a special episode for Sarah and I, because you're tackling a global problem. You're using a platform that we all love so much to do it. And you're inspiring the entire generation of people who come after you to go out and tackle a real problem in their community. And that's what the Power Platform and Microsoft's all about. So thank you all for being here with us today. Till next time, less code,
more power.